Socialism and the Wide Divide.
Hello and welcome to the Prickly City Podcast for February 11th, 2019. I'm Janine Fadich, and here is your host and the creator of Prickly City, Scott Stantis.
Thank you, Janine, and thank you all for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. We've been gone for a while.
Right. Well, one of our podcasts got lost in the polar vortex.
Yes.
And then we were out of town for the other.
So, is that what happened?
That's what I'm going to blame it on. It just disappeared. We did it, and okay. It's gone, but that's okay.
Yeah, it'll be like 40 years from now.
The lost episode.
Yeah, they can do that. So let's dive right into it. And give me some comments.
You got particularly a lot of comments on your socialism, where you had the Ed character who wears the Bernie shirt saying that he wants free stuff, and people argued back and forth on that quite a bit.
Oh, I got a lot of stuff, a lot of blowback. So are some of the comments?
Pam Miner says, the word socialism has acquired a bad name, but it isn't bad. Think of public and national parks, the postal system, free public libraries, and FDR's New Deal and his public works and on the infrastructure. Socialism deserves better than that to be thought of as scary.
I'm not going to disagree with that, only because I think that's using a very broad brush to say what socialism actually is. And if we're talking, and it depends on what level of socialism we're talking about. And this isn't an economics podcast, so I'm not going to bore you with all that stuff. Other than to say that what it would mean is like a much wider social safety net and much more social services than are currently provided in the United States.
Well, Darson54 says, not free stuff. We want to exchange reasonable taxes instead of paying sky-high insurance premiums. We want to get educations, not mortgage our futures away. We want a chance at a decent life. And no, we won't become Venezuela, which is ironic to hear from a political party that's attempting to make us vassals of the Soviet Union. And he also went on to say, which this is something I think is very interesting, if you and your employer pay some $12,000 a year for health insurance, made up but not unrealistic figure, you could get the same and better coverage for $7,000 a year in taxes instead. That is just economic common sense. Nobody is saying free, but more available to all, which would help the economies of scale.
Right. But as of today, you don't have health care. You don't have free college. And that's what you'd come down to. That is free stuff. I didn't quite understand the arguments and the blowback I got back from using that phrase, because it is effectively wanting stuff that you don't currently have.
But people aren't saying that you're getting it free. You're saying you're paying taxes for it.
You are, but don't. And the other part of the equation is they fail to notice that the taxes on that kind of a system are incredibly onerous. That if you're, let's say you get a job for 60, let's say you're a millennial who luckily gets a job for $60,000, which is pretty much unheard of, which is criminal. But that's how the reality is today. And then half of it goes away. Now, yeah, granted, you'll have services like healthcare, which would be awesome. You'd also be paying off someone else's education. And yes, and that's what taxes are. Taxes are effectively a social contract that equates into a Ponzi scheme. And that's not, it doesn't mean that it's that makes it sound like it's evil.
Yeah.
And it's not, no. Well, wait for it. You pay for someone going forward. You and I, our kids are in their 30s now. They're not going to go to school, but we still pay taxes that support the schools. Why don't I resent this? Because I think an educated populace is a good thing to have. And the people before me paid for my kids' education, the building of those schools, and the paying of those teachers. So the whole system, it gets larger, and it really comes down to this for me, is I do not and never have trusted government, period. It's not an efficient way to deliver services, and generally it becomes corrupted, and it's obviously corruptible. We live here in Chicago, the first most corrupt city in America, by the way. Did you hear that, Janine?
No, I didn't.
Give me a high five.
Woo, yeah, yes.
Yeah, and Illinois is the third most corrupt state, so we see this firsthand. We live here. We live that experience, and we see what happens.
We also see that businesses are quite corrupt, too.
Businesses
are corrupt. So it's not like the private sector is uncorruptible and that everything they do is going to be good and better.
And there's business and there's socialism for businesses. They get underwritten. I mean, how many companies like at Walmart, number of people who work at Walmart get food stamps. That's socialism. That's underwriting their business, which it shouldn't be doing.
And giving all kinds of tax incentives to get Amazon to put a headquarters in your town when they make more money than anybody.
Which is hilarious, because have you followed the story in New York? Now they're backing out of that. And now all these cities, including Chicago, are going, hey, we're still here. We'll take it. We'll give you stuff. Free stuff. Yes, I said it. Free stuff. So that's my complaint with government and how government. And so this rush towards socialism, and it's a rush towards, and frankly, it's many young people who haven't seen not just Venezuela, which was a
that's a dictatorship. It's not really socialism.
Well, but that's what it. But that's what it can become mired in. You can say the same about Cuba. You can say the same about the old Soviet Union. You can say the same about many of these states now in the EU, for instance. And there's a big backlash now against the onerous taxes and the intrusion of government. I mean, that's what led to Brexit, which is the dumbest damn thing I've ever heard in my life. We're going to vote for stuff. We're not really sure quite sure what it is, but we're going to vote against it. And you get your, because the EU, which was supposed to be strictly a monetary entity to compete with the American dollar, well, then of course they, because they can't help themselves, and this is what government does. It's overreach. They all of a sudden you have to have these social constructs. You have to have these social services if you want to be in the EU. You have to accept this many immigrants if you're in the EU. All this other stuff that has nothing to do with what the EU's original charter said. So all of this is to say, I don't like government. I don't trust it. And so when it comes to socialism, many of the ideas, I think, are based in empathy and sympathy. And some of them are practical. Janine mentioned, one of our commenters mentioned that it is cheaper to have, a single payer than it would to have a company pay for your health care. It's just cheaper. That makes sense.
And someone else points out here, DD Wiz. Let's see, if I can find it.
We're going to talk about DD Wiz.
No country that has instituted public health care has ever repealed it. Almost like it works or something. So it doesn't work. Nothing works perfectly.
No.
But, I mean, you may have to wait a long time for non-life-saving procedures. And you may have to wait a long time for when our son lived in England and had some kind of infection and wanted to go to the doctor. And it's like, yes, you can get an appointment in a month.
Well, yeah, but an infection, you want it to be taken care of because it's pain.
Right. And but, I mean, he didn't know what it was. He was sick and he went to make an appointment. It was going to be a month. But had he broken his arm or something, he still would have gotten treated.
No,
but
I think
it may take a long time, but you can get... And there are people who don't get treated because they don't have insurance. They can't go to the doctor or they can't afford it.
Right. And in fact, there's a tragic story of someone who worked at the Tribune, Chicago Tribune, who he got laid off, didn't have health insurance. He had had heart issues in the past. And because he lost his insurance, couldn't take care of them. And he died a little over a year after leaving the Tribune. So, and having his insurance taken away. So there's got to be an answer to this. I'm still searching for a practical, if there's a free market, a solution to this. I think some of the steps they're taking recently to open up markets and have competition to lower prices. You've mentioned yourself that having access, if you and I, let's say, were unemployed, God forbid, but if we did all of a sudden lose our jobs what would we do for insurance? Could we at least get the insurance discount? You know how you always get the bill whenever you get something? That medicine would have cost $200,000, but because of your insurance, you got it for $12. You know, it's like it's a math that doesn't make any sense. It's
right.
Pretty much made up. But still, wouldn't it be nice if you had access to that? You could also buy a policy that would keep cover you for catastrophic. There's a lot of ways to go forward to this, and we're getting in the deep. I am.
Right. And well, in college education, I think that, when we grew up in California, you had free college. You bought your books, but you didn't have to pay tuition.
And for?
To go to college.
What
to
really?
Go to, what, at least not at the community college level.
I did, because I was from out of state.
Oh, because you were out of state.
Yeah.
But see, you didn't have to. Now, on one hand, that can be abused, because I know I have to hate to admit this. I was young and didn't know what I was doing. I abused it. I took classes and dropped them or took different things. But I think that having affordable college is good for everyone.
Yeah. And I would agree. And I think that, over the last decade and a half, they've cut back on state colleges. And they were a good idea. They're expensive. But I think the end result is very positive for all of us.
Well, no one should be in debt for years and years to go get an education.
Well, but it depends if it pays off. We have lawyer friends and doctor friends who are deep in debt, and they're paying off their debt, and making that investment paid off.
Right, but there's a lot of jobs that you have to have a high level of education, but you're never going to get paid enough to...
Some
we need. I mean, we need social workers.
Well, that's number one in my book. That's so the social workers, you have to have a master's, which is absurd in my view, because they do such important work that, you know, and it pays criminally low that they will never pay back those debts.
Right. So let's see. Most of the people were kind of more pro-socialism. Shearer said the excuses being made for socialism here are what will eventually end America as a free country.
Well, when you hand so much of the economy, so many aspects and moving parts of the economy over to the government, you're asking for trouble and you're asking for overreach and that's what government does. You know, it infringes. That's why we had the revolution in 1776. That's why so many revolutions since then have happened, before and since.
But you do need to have a good bit of government, or it would just be anarchy.
Well, yes, and that's what, you know, Alexander Hamilton said. You know, if men were angels, we wouldn't need government. And that's true. But it's always finding that balance, and socialism doesn't strike that balance in my mind.
Well, we also have a wide divide, as you can tell.
No.
Yes.
In America?
We had a couple of interesting comments on that. MDMP22 said, I seriously wonder why both sides can't come up with solutions that would help the nation itself and not their personal agendas. To which Graham responded, you obviously didn't read any of the other comments if you think we could agree on what would help the nation.
Yeah, I think, you know, here's a good example. Believe it or not, we had a recent example in the United States, and it was crime reform, and effectively not having these kind of overwhelming sentences for nonviolent crimes and how it's filled up our jails. We have the highest incarceration rate in the world. So the Democrats, Republicans, even the Trump administration jumped on board for a common sense approach to this, and they passed a bill. Now, you know, now we're going to see over the next few years how this shakes out. I'm sure there'll be problems, but for the most part, it was the right thing to do, and it was a bipartisan bill and a bipartisan agreement. I think we can meet halfway on some of this stuff like immigration and the wall. I mean, you know, they've both dug in so deep. I tend to agree that there may not be a way out of that one. We're recording this on a Monday. This Friday is a deadline for yet another shutdown. I think Trump may think that he can win this one. What was that? I don't think he can either. I think he said he owns it. And if we have another one, then it's on him again. And this doesn't help him. He's having some rally in El Paso tonight, and that's his answer to pretty much everything. So
that's for 2020, apparently.
Yes.
Another.
What else? Do you have anything else?
Well, you've been accused of false equivalency.
Oh,
so
yes.
So Braindead says, Scott, why on earth are you trying to make Bernie supporters the equivalent of Trump disciples? And Pharmakeus Ubik said, nothing makes them happy like both sidering. False equivalency, Uber Alice.
Yeah, see, that's bull. I'm sorry. It's not a false equivalency. It's true. If you've talked to Bernie people, look at the comments. How insufferable and how immovable. The fact is, Bernie, the difference is Bernie is one of 100 senators. The president is, there's one president. So there is more power, more attention and all that stuff on Trump and his supporters. But I would tell you, being a conservative-ish commentator, I get, and Janine can attest to this, I get a lot of crap from the left. They are not kind, gentle, good people who are open-minded and willing to meet me halfway. It just, I'm sorry, guys.
Well, Brain Pudding is on the other
I
side.
I love the name.
And he's telling you that the defending Trump supporters by saying that, just those who support Trump don't want to control or harm any Americans. However, the socialists do want to control and thereby harm every American. There are always a fraction of a percent of kooks, but they don't represent MAGA Americans. However, the socialist team is nearly 100% of state ownership of private property, rules that limit the freedom of work, business, food, and energy production use, and through abortion and health care rationing, a life itself. You should not continue with this phony narrative denigration of Americans who want freedom and secure borders and the false equivalence with socialists and Antifa.
I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay.
Because that just made my point. Janine, thank you.
You're welcome.
And thank you to Brian Altheimer, our wonderful producer. And thank you to WGN and WGN Plus for letting us use their equipment and hosting this podcast. And if you want to keep up with the antics of Carmen Winslow, you can certainly do that by going to gocomics.com/prickly city. That's gocomics.com/prickly city. And you can actually sign up for free and leave a comment, and maybe we'll use it here on the podcast. If you want to contact us directly, we'd love to hear from you at pricklycity@gmail.com. That's pricklycity@gmail.com. Again, thank you so much for listening to this week's edition of the Prickly City Podcast. Until next time, we'll see you in the funny papers.